Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for March 22nd, 2018, the second day of spring. So yesterday was the first day of spring. That means in the Northern Hemisphere, to much the happiness that this terrible winter has gone by as we pound into to the future of certain global warming, according to some people. But not me. Anyway, tonight is a very, very special show for me. And I'm going to concentrate on a particular topic. Now, I can announce this. I've been talking for weeks that I had something that I really couldn't talk about yet. I was under what is known as an embargo, a news embargo. I was under a signed contract where I could not talk about something until a specific date, and that specific date was this morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And let me just start with a little bit of history. Last May, well, I guess it started many years ago, because as you know, I've been in the water filter business for probably well over 15 years now. I sold many brands. Now I have my own name-branded products, all the way from small personal filters up to the big industrial commercial filters. I've added to my product line tanks, also large tanks. And also, more recently, about a year ago or so, a little bit more, I added what are known as atmospheric water generators. So this is a product line that basically extracts water from the air. And many years ago, I designed my wing generator and had some false starts back in the early days. Some other things went on. But finally, I had an impetus, let's put it that way, to put together a very specific model of the wing generator that would be combined with the atmospheric water generators. Now, to go into a little more detail, it just so happened that a group of very visionary people formed in what is known as the XPRIZE. Now, the XPRIZE has many different competitions. There was the original one. It was the Ansari X Prize, with Bert Rutan winning that, sending a man into space. The goal was to send three men into space within a one-week period and cross the 60-mile barrier, the 100-kilometer barrier, which is considered the frontier, the border of outer space. To do that twice in the same week with the same spacecraft and come back safely, and in fact he did that and won the $10 million Ansari X Prize. And the name that goes with it is typically the source of the funding. So somebody put up the Ansari individual, put up the $10 million for the prize, and that was the first one. And then they got moving, and Peter Diamantis is the founder of the XPRIZE, and the goal is to do the impossible, to make possible the impossible. And I remember back in the day when Bert Rutan was working towards that, nobody ever imagined that anybody could go into space and do that, because NASA, in, 30 years, 40 years, couldn't do that. The Russians could not do that. The Russians could launch every day, but not with the same spacecraft. So this was a pretty stringent requirement. And so there are many other X Prizes right now, some new ones being considered, but the Water Abundance X Prize was funded by the Tata Group from India and the Australian Board of Trade, and more briefly known as Australian Aid. And so those two groups, the Tata Group and Australian Aid, put in the money for an XPRIZE dealing with water. It's called Water Abundance XPRIZE. Well, I joined that about a year ago and pretty much kept it to myself because it was something I had to, it was just a very stringent requirement that you would extract water from the air, which is not an easy thing to do, but do it with renewable resources. In other words, the energy supply had to be renewable, not plugging into the grid, not using coal or nuclear power, or it had to be a renewable source of energy, and under 2 cents a liter. And so the way you come at that figure, 2 cents per liter, you take the capital cost and the maintenance cost and other, whatever other costs are involved, and amortize that over a 10-year period, and the total cost, it turns out, if you're doing, and you have to produce 2,000 liters per day. So to do that and average this 2,000 liters a day at 2 cents a liter over a 10-year period comes out to a mere $146,000. So really a very stringent requirement. In other words, all of your capital expense and equipment in maintenance and whatever you have to do to keep that running for a 10-year period, replacing parts or filters or whatever, would have to be done for under $146,000 over a 10-year period. And so that's a very, very strict requirement, very difficult requirement. And so I joined this because I thought that I could do this, that I could perform this. Well, as it turns out, the testing period was in January. And if you remember, I've been somewhat out of, let's say, in, I'll just put it this way, I've been in isolation. And that's why. Now I can make a public announcement as to why I was in isolation. And I had the good fortune of being selected as one of the five finalists out of 98 teams internationally. These people were all over the world entering this contest, the XPRIZE, that's officially called the Water Abundance XPRIZE, powered by Tata Group and Australian Aid. That's the official name. And I was selected as one of the five finalists with the wing generator and my line of water generators, atmospheric water generators. And there's more to it than that, because that was the milestone. And if you look on my webpage, there's links to other pages where the news release went out this morning, the official news release from which I was embargoed. In other words, I couldn't talk about this until 9 o'clock this morning. That news release went out by the XPRIZE group, the Water Abundance XPRIZE, powered by Tata Group and Australian Aid. Their news release went out announcing the five finalists, of which I am one. And so now things are off in the public domain, and the public is aware of this. And I have a crowdfunding page because the next stage is going to come in July. This is when the five finalists meet in an unspecified location. We don't know where we're going to have to go. But part of the project is not just to extract water from the air. You have to build a commercialized product, basically, that you can move to any place, remote place, without using any infrastructure or with a minimal amount of preparation, drop whatever it is in that location and produce 2,000 liters of water per day and prove that you can do this. So it would be a viable mechanism for people in remote areas of the world, especially the poor people that don't have energy or water, to be able to produce water on an ongoing basis. Now, I should mention that, for example, Matt Damon has a program where they are drilling wells, and most of you probably have seen the advertisements for that. But unfortunately, a lot of the wells dry up within the first year, and so it's somewhat of a problem, and certainly a tremendous, valiant effort. But the end result, after looking at the end result of drilling the wells, they're either contaminated or they just go dry. There's just not enough groundwater to supply these wells on an ongoing basis. And so the end result is that the people still don't have water, and secondarily, they don't have energy. So what I have determined in my studying this entire problem is that water takes energy. Any source of water, whether it's from the atmosphere, whether it's pumping a river, whether it's moving rainwater from one area to another, whatever the source of water, it needs energy to process it, to move it, to store it, to once it's stored, then to move it to another location. And so that's why many years ago I realized this, and I positioned myself between what I considered to be the two biggest issues on the planet, energy and water. And they go hand in hand. And so if you see that as I progressed through my, from my very early beginnings with the water filters, etc., that the I progressed up to the point where eventually I had the atmospheric water generators, which are big machines, very energy-hungry machines. For example, a 2,500-liter per day atmospheric water generator consumes around between 45 and 50 kilowatts of power. In other words, that's the amount of energy it takes to, so it's you can't just kind of plug it into the wall and have this thing run. This is a tremendous amount of power. And to just give you an idea, this would be the equivalent of 430 100-watt light bulbs, or 500 in the case if it was 50 kilowatts, it would be 500 100-watt light bulbs running 24/7. It's a lot of power. Just to extract 2,500 liters per day of water from the atmosphere in conditions, and there are also other factors here, that the air has to be humid, somewhat humid. There has to be, it can't be in the middle of the desert, of course. It doesn't work as well because the air is drier there. But, and you still can extract water from the air in a dry desert. It's just that it's not going to be as effective as if it were, say, on a coastal city where there's a lot of humidity and the temperature is high. So all of these atmospheric factors come into play. So this is a very stringent requirement. Now, the reason I'm having the crowdfunding effort is because I'm going full tilt at this point. I have the process, I already know for a fact that I can do this, but it's not just a matter of, say, winning the XPRIZE and producing 2,000 liters of water in a day with the equipment. That's okay, that's another milestone. I've already met one of the milestones. I have the trophy. The trophy is in, you can see the picture of it there, beautiful, beautiful trophy. And but the rigorous part is yet to come, because not only is it producing a machinery, basically the wing generator and the atmospheric water generators, not only producing that machinery, but producing it in a manner that's economical for mass market, so we can start putting these in the poor regions of the world, because these people don't have a lot of money. They don't have electricity. If they don't have water, they typically don't have electricity either. So the benefit is that I can provide them with both. So can you imagine the following? And this is the part, this is the beautiful part of the XPRIZE and the vision of the Water Abundance XPRIZE or the Ansari XPRIZE or any of the other ones, that the expression is making possible the impossible, taking something that is really has not been done before, with all the university grants, with all the money going into government agencies, with all of the private organizations and corporations that work on government grants and government-funded projects. This has never been done before. This has never been done before, achieving this these goals the way they're stated. Very, very difficult. And so I'm feel very privileged to be able to put my talents into this, and I feel very rewarded that I've spent my life studying and studying physics and engineering and worked in many fields, and I can say that a lot of my background, many, many aspects of my background are coming into play now and putting this package together that really is an extremely difficult proposal, extremely difficult, something that when you first look at it on the surface would be absolutely impossible. But the possibility of doing this is, there's no question anymore about the possibility. I'm already on the way to doing this. The trick is, there are four other competitors, and this is going to be difficult for all of the competitors. There's five competitors. There's five teams that are in the finals going to July, and so that's also a very tight time frame to get a production model, a piece of equipment ready by July, where you can not only just do it at a test facility, but put it in a container and ship it someplace, take it out, open it up, set it up, and have it run. And imagining that this will be happening time and time again, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of times over, all over the world, in remote places, little villages where they don't have water, where they don't have energy or water. And so you could take a water extraction machine to a location, but if they don't have electricity, what are you going to do? Where are you going to get the power to plug this in? And let me just say something about standard three-blade wind generators and solar panels. At the cost of those today, at the energy price point today, for the energy you would need to run one of these machines, and there's various ways of extracting water from the atmosphere, but it all takes energy, no matter what kind of process. Here's just an example. On a normal humid day, not humid, but an average day of, say, 72 degrees with 70% humidity, you're going to have to move about 400,000 cubic meters of air through your machine in that day. 400,000 cubic meters of air, and that's if your extraction process is 100% efficient. In other words, you're getting all the water out of the air. If you're not getting all the water out of the air, you have to move more air than that. So that's a tremendous amount of air to move through your system. And then you need the energy that it takes in the system to extract water from the air. So you have the fans, you have the extraction process, and so it's very energy intensive. Let's just put it that way. So the end result is, this is a very difficult task, but I'm already well aware of the fact that I can do this with the wind generator, the three-blade wind generator, and the solar panels. Solar panels, of course, you need batteries, And so it's impossible, just from a standpoint of energy, with those two, what they call alternative energy, three-blade wind generator and solar panels, it would be impossible to get down to this $146,000 price point, because that has to include the equipment that extracts the water from the air also. So at any rate, this is a very difficult thing to do, but the fact that the wind generator is extremely efficient at extracting energy from the air, and as you build them larger, they become more efficient because they work at low wind speed, they work at high wind speeds, and all the wind speeds in between. Whereas the three-blade wind generator only works at a very narrow window, a very narrow band of winds. And so, and with solar, you only have a couple hours of sun per day. So what do you do for the rest of the day for energy? Well, you would have to expand your solar panel array tremendously so you could absorb enough energy for 50,000 watts of energy 24/7, and then store that in batteries, and there's a loss in the storage, there's a loss in recuperating the energy from the batteries, etc. So this is a tremendously difficult proposition. But anyway, As I said, I'm very fortunate to have been selected in the final five, where now the job is to build the production model and have it ready by July. So this is a tall order, and that's why I would beseech your help. And when you go to my webpage now, there is a crowdfunding effort that's underway, and it's not just my audience now. This has become a worldwide effort. And so I know my audience is great. They're great fans. But a lot of them, they're poor people, a lot of them. There's some people out there that are well off. I know that. But in the community that typically, you know, listens to the radio shows and things like that, the people are just, they're doing okay. So if you have the ability to make a donation of any kind, then that's great. But the crowdfunding effort, and I'll put the number on here, is for $500,000. And that's what it's going to take, plus quite a bit more. So I'm going to have to get investors. I'm also looking for investors. So if you know people who are interested in investing and also you can direct them this way. And there's contact information, etc. So this is a very big effort, and I'm heading in one direction. It's taking, I'll just explain a little bit. I've put a tremendous amount of my own time, of course, but money, investment, and a resource of all kinds to get up to the point where I'm at today. So now I have to look for other sources of funding, because it's what's coming in the future is much bigger. Let's just put it that way. But the benefit is for literally there's 3.5 billion people in the world that do not have energy. They don't have water. They don't have reliable food source. And if you solve the energy problem, which I have with the wing generator, it works. It works much better than I ever imagined, and you can see it in the videos. And when this thing cranks up in the wind and the wind takes it, let me tell you, you know that this is what's been missing. This is what has been missing. This is what people have been looking for. And I'll tell you, just I've met so many people. I've had so many contacts within the last year all over the world. People who are in the all of these different areas of research, etc. And there's a feeling of desperation now. I was talking to a priest from Zambia, and he was saying, we just can't keep doing this anymore. He was saying that, in his country, pollution and the strife that occurs because of the the use of natural resources. It just there, like I say, everybody I talk to has this sense of urgency, and that's something that wasn't there 10 years ago, wasn't there 5 years ago, it wasn't even there at this level, wasn't even there 2 years ago. So the fact that the wing generator is now being distributed, it's being seen by so many people, and I get the same reactions that people look at it, and the people who have come to the sites where they're looking personally right at the wing generator working, and they just stand there and look at it. They just stand there and look at it. And these are, some of them are engineers, some of them had experience with other wind energy systems, and they look at it and they go, this is it. This is it. This is the solution. And they just look at it and they know. And that's what's really great now, because you can see these videos. And this thing, when it gets going, it's like a jet engine, man. It cranks. That's all I can tell you. It really pulls the power out of the air. And my vision that I already knew, I as a physicist, I'm a trained physicist and engineer. I can picture these things in my head. So I knew what I was going for. And, you know, like anything, it took time. It took some false starts, some other things that had to happen. But now I've got the basic design. The wing generator comes in many configurations. There's not just one configuration that fits all. There's many different configurations, and for each application, there's a different size. It could depend on the wind characteristics of a given location, the application. Is it going to be just for electricity? Is it going to be for just power? The power takeoff aspect of it, or is it going to be a combination? What exactly is the application? And everyone is different. It's almost like automobiles. It's that you wouldn't just build one automobile and say, well, this will work for everybody, including hauling things around in trucks. No, you have to have many different types of automobiles to fit the needs of the end user. And so that's the same with the wing generator, that there are just many, many different designs, many different ways of constructing it, or constructing the base, etc. There's just many ways to do it based on the situation. And so then just talking about the water extraction from the atmosphere a little bit, it's a process that it's very simple. These techniques are known. But the wing generator is something that I patented. It's other patents pending. There's trademarks. There's the corporation. I have an LLC registered. And so that's another big aspect of what I had to do, is to get all of the legalities done in the time frame, and also have that done so that when all of these other benefits came along, when all of these other the visibility of it came along, all of this stuff was taken care of. So that was very important. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons why I did a lot of this work in the background. A lot of it people will never see. But there's a lot of good reasons for everything I've done, and it's in a very good position now. So anyway, just in review, I'm one of the 5 finalists of the international group of 98 that began this last May. There are now 5 finalists, and I'm one of the finalists. And my finalist company is, you'll see it on the webpage there, is JMCC Wing. It's an LLC, Delaware-based. And something very interesting has grown out of this also. And I'm just very proud of all of the work that I've done, but I've had to divide this up in somewhat in divisions. And it turns out, as you know, I've had the webpage jmcanniescience.com. That's been my webpage since the very beginning. And I shortened the URL because I'm on radio shows a lot. I'm giving the URL out, and so the jmcanniescience.com URL is too long. People misspell it. And so I got the short URL, which I give out on radio shows, which is jmccsci.com. So seven letters, JMCC is the base, and then SCI. Well, then came along the water filter page, and I had to set up a second page. I, of course, sell my water filters on my own web page, on a subpage of the main web page there. But I then built a second page for the water filters and broke that off into another company, which is called JMCC Water Filters. So that's my name brand of water filters, JMCC. That's once again the same base, and then water filters. So then I had the JMCCSCI.com, JMCC Water Filters, and now there's JMCC Wing. And there's another company that's coming somewhat shortly on the heels thereafter that I'll be making public sometime in the near future, which would make a total of four companies under the parent company, JMCC. And then so there would be the science, the water filters, and then the wing, which covers also the atmospheric water generators and the wing generators. And by the way, just to give a little bit of history here, the term wing is what I've been calling the wing generator all along, but it took quite a bit of legal analysis, and just let me explain. The wing generator, I typically called it the McCanny wing generator, but when we went to find the name for a trademark for the patent, for the web page, which is jmccwing.com, that's registered, and that's an active page. You can go there now. The email address, which is associated with the web page, so it's info@jmccwing.com. All of the other legal entities, the corporation that's registered, so all of these things had to be coordinated and registered, and that was the name that fit with all of these various entities to put all of this together. So it was very complicated just from a managerial point of view. So not only was I building the wing generator and the ones that were appropriate for the Water Abundance X Prize, but also all of the other details that had to go into building up the structure so this was sound and then it could be ready, for example, for investors, for the crowdfunding effort that's going on right now. So all of this was going on in the background, and there were many nights in the last 6 months when I didn't sleep, including last night. I didn't sleep at all. I was getting everything ready. And I know other people associated with the XPRIZE were very busy. The people that run that, an extremely professional group of people. And so I'm very honored to be a part of that group. I just want to mention that. And I've been associated with groups, many, many groups throughout my life, universities, professional groups. I've worked in industry. I've worked in telecommunications industry for 25 years of my life, and 10 years of my life in the teaching university level physics, mathematics, computer science, and astronomy. And I'll tell you something, that the XPRIZE, the Water Abundance XPRIZE staff, very professional, on top of things, very, very detailed oriented and very vision oriented, putting it all together in a tremendous package. So it's, for me, it's a not only a great honor to be a participant, but to be chosen as one of the finalists, and then all of the other things that have gone on. There's a beautiful trophy that came out, and I received that just yesterday. And so that photo you can see on the webpage and also in the crowdfunding page, just very, very professional. And so it's a great honor to be working with that group. And if you go to their webpage, which I encourage all of you to do, go to the XPRIZE webpage and go to the Water Abundance XPRIZE page specifically and go through it all and look at all of the details. You can also, I believe they still have the map up where the 98 participants are from, the map of all the original participants that possibly is still there. But you'll find that it's from all over the world. Possibly every country in the world was representative in the original group of 98 contestants. Now we're down to five. And so the five are from the one just to, you can go see this on the webpage, but there's one from Australia, one from India, one from United Kingdom, and two from the United States. And so I'm one of the groups from the United States. So once again, this is to be at this level is in itself a great premium. But at this point, now the real work begins. The real work now begins because not only, as I said, it's not just to extract water from the air 2,000 liters. And this is what's so wonderful about the XPRIZE people is that they, for example, when they looked at the Ansari XPRIZE with Burt Rutan going into space twice in the same week, okay, that was the immediate goal. But the real goal, the underlying goal, the true initiative was to take that and create what is now a $20 billion a year industry. You have Elon Musk shooting off rockets into space. The biggest functional rocket in the world is privately owned now, not the government. And, you know, the Richard Branson is still funding the Galactic, Virgin Galactic Group, etc. They're also doing like railways, high-speed tunnels and railway systems that are very visionary. So many things are going on because of what Burt Rutan did back then, winning the Ansari XPRIZE. And just to make mention also, I met Burt Rutan in, it was probably around 1985, I just say as a round number, because that's when I was out in the West Coast looking for funding for my science projects, for my aerospace projects, etc. And that's when I was invited to Los Alamos to give private talks. You know, a lot of things were going on in my life scientifically, but I was at the Aerospace America air show in San Diego, and I believe they only had that a couple of years. I don't think they still have that, but anyway, they were trying to set up an American air show that would compete with the French air show. But anyway, I was an invited speaker there, and so was Burt Rutan. So we were on the docket together. We had our displays there together. And Bert is a tall guy. He's a big guy. And he was there. He has sideburns and cowboy boots and jeans and just, you know, right out of the American Southwest. But just tremendous talent building airframes and the composites, developed the composite over foam structure and all of the different airplanes that he designed. And then putting that technology together to win the Ansari XPRIZE. And he had his White Knight launch vehicle. And so in a few respects, I see that what I'm doing is something similar to what Burt Rutan did. He was taking technologies that he had sitting there, the composite on top of foam structure to build a very hardened airframe. And then his White Knight carrier vehicle that he had already built, he was renting it, leasing it to the military because they didn't have anything to to test a lot of their test vehicles with. He'd haul them up to 50,000 feet and then drop them off, and they would fly and do their thing. But Bert Rutan had built this for his own test bed, and it was basically two fuselages and two jet engines with a kind of a central empty wing area in the middle, and that's where you would hook these carrier vehicles to take up to 50,000 feet and drop them off and for experimental aircraft. So he was already doing this. So it took some innovation, and then he decided on the design that they went, and it was called Spacecraft One. And I have quite a few pictures. I was at the Oshkosh Air Show. This is the big fly-in air show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And Bert Rutan was there with, this is after he had won the XPRIZE. He had the Spaceship One and the White Knight carrier vehicle. So it was probably around, it was October of 2004 when he accomplished the, won the Ansari XPRIZE in the $10 million put in by an Ansari, and I can never pronounce his first name right, so I'm not going to try. But so it must have been around the year 2005 when, once again, I saw Bert Rutan at the show there, at the Oshkosh Air Show. And he didn't remember me, of course. He that it was probably, almost 20 years earlier when I met him out at the San Diego Air Show. A good 20 years, probably, or at least somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 years. But anyway, he had not changed much. He was still the same kind of cowboy-looking guy, Bert Rutan, smart and engineer. And at that point, he had a very good staff. And at that point, Richard Branson came in, billionaire from England, and dropped a lot of money on it. In fact, Richard Branson is the guy that funded the effort of Bert Rutan for the Ansari XPRIZE. And then they moved on and to open up the Virgin Galactic, where they were going to build and transport tourists into outer space. And that is still moving forward. But the point is that the XPRIZE is not just about doing something and then you walk away and quit. It's about opening up these massive markets that just didn't even exist before. You had some people working in space-related technologies, like the Space Hotel, the Bigelow, and the other people that, and then all of a sudden, it was the in vogue thing to do for all of the young Silicon Valley millionaires that would then invest their money, you know, the Thiels and the Bezos and the Elon Musks and everybody putting their money into space. And but anyway, it became literally a $20 billion a year industry because of that one XPRIZE. It just opened the door. And that is what the Water Abundance XPRIZE is all about also. It's not just about going up and building some equipment, taking some water out of the air. It's about bringing this technology to the forefront where it will become a major driving force in the world to provide clean water to people that don't have it. So can you imagine that in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of nowhere where you cannot put in infrastructure, you cannot put in piping or there's no energy to pump water, even if you had water, and then there's no source of energy. But what if you could take a unit and it extracts energy from the air and extracts water from the air? And it's an autonomous unit, and you just put it there and you set it up. It takes about a day to set up, and there you are. You have water for people, and now this is not water to flush the toilet or take showers with. This is water for drinking, for cooking, for the essentials like cleaning babies, of course, and other essentials, because it's you're dealing with thousands of liters per day. And I was talking with one of the experts in this field a little while ago, and they said that if people had truly clean water, then they could get by with a number of liters. They're talking about 2 or 3 liters of water per day per person. And so this is remember, this is in a place where people don't have any water at all. They're digging holes in the ground and taking mud water. One time I was in South America, and it was along the coast, and I could see people. We were in a vehicle with a group of people. We were going down to a coastal city. And all along the road, there were people going with empty water containers, and they were coming back clearly with full water containers. So I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. I want to see where they're getting their water. So as we came along the road, and then you could see all the people standing out in the middle of what we would consider a pond in a cow field. And that's where they were getting their water and taking it back, 2 or 3 containers, and they had to walk back 5 or 6 miles to get back to the little town where they lived. And that was the main water source for that town. And the cows were out there walking around it, and the people, it was like, oh my goodness, these poor people, you know, they're so economically depressed, but this is their source of water. And it was during the dry season. But, you know, we just can't keep living in this world like this. We just can't. And so I'll be honest with you, I put everything that I have into this. And now I'm on the verge of producing the technology, but I need help. I need help financially to do this. And it's going to cost a lot of money. This is not something that just, oh, let's build one for, you know, $20,000, $30,000 and build something. No. This is going to cost some serious money because it has to be brought up to manufacturing level, mass produced on a large scale. So, and this is not just a one-off engineering thing. Okay, build it. No, there's got to be a lot of fine-tuning to minimize maintenance. There's all kinds of factors here that do not meet with a regular engineering development because these are going to be put out in the middle of nowhere. They don't have wrenches and screwdrivers and tools. They don't have equipment. If there's a gasket that goes bad, they don't have anything to replace that with. So there's a lot of engineering factors that have to go into this that you would not consider in a normal environment of development. I want to switch gears just a little bit. There's a study that just came out, in fact, this week in Sao Paulo, Brazil. A number of groups are meeting, and one of them is the World Water Forum. And by the way, today is Water Day. I forgot to announce that. And I just assumed everybody would know that, but today is International Water Day. This week in Sao Paulo, Brazil, there are various groups meeting and in other places around the world to try and analyze the world water problem. And it's not good. It is not good because the population of the world is right now over 7 billion people. And by the year, they say 2050, it's going to be up to 10 billion people. But the problem is that a lot of these people, at least 50% of them, they say will live in cities. And as the city sprawl occurs, they will be the stress on infrastructure and water supplies will get even worse. And because of the lack of water resources. But I would like you to listen to the videos carefully because I spent a lot of time preparing the dialogue for these videos. The video that's in the fundraiser is just a little bit over 5 minutes. You have to keep those short because the general person that goes there does not have a lot of time. On my webpage, I have a video that is about 12 minutes long. That has a bit more content. That has a bit more information about the water process, etc. But there will have to be many solutions. One of the things that the wind generator does is it can also work on a desalinization plant. Now, desalinization is viable for certain areas. If you're near the coast, then desalinization will work for a certain part of the population, and they're using it successfully in certain parts of the world for agriculture. But there's a hydrological cycle that occurs, and the water evaporates from the ocean. This has been going on for millions of years. It's very efficient, and it doesn't bring any salt with it. So the salt stays in the ocean, the water vaporizes, and these are called, it's a term that I've been using for really decades now, rivers, atmospheric rivers of water. And so what we can do then is there's extract this water from the air. It's a very energy-intensive process, but if the energy is coming from the wind also, then all of a sudden the cost of producing water goes down drastically. And it's not the only solution, but it's going to be one of the big solutions because you don't need infrastructure. And this is one of the things also, like I say, making possible the impossible. If someone 5 years ago told you, we're going to build a unit that you just put out there in the middle of nowhere and it produces water. And of course, it was in one of the Luke Skywalker movies. What do you call it? That they had some kind of a thing that they would get water from that just sat out there by itself. But of course, that was science fiction. Making science fiction into real science is what we're doing now. I mean, we're taking... Remember Dick Tracy, the old detective? He used to talk to his watch, and everybody thought, "Wow, you couldn't do that. You need a big phone, and you need wire, and you need, you know, who could imagine having a walkie-talkie in your watch?" Well, boys and girls, today it's here. And so the future, if you can imagine it, then you possibly can build it. But the thing we've always been missing is the energy part. How to extract energy from the wind. And I just saw an article the other day laughing at alternative energy, giving the old hoo-ha to anybody who believed in alternative energy, because the article said it would never supply the world's energy. Well, I got news for you. First of all, if you're looking at alternative energy, that's why I don't talk about alternative energy. I don't talk about the wing generator. I'd never use the word wind, if you notice that, because I don't want it associated with all of that stuff that never worked, that was sold as a pig with lipstick on it, and now the countries all over the world are finding this out. And now it's, I'll tell you, it's a bit difficult to come after that and tell people because they're very angry. And if you talk with people around Thunder Bay and Ontario, or you talk out farther east along the lakes, Lake Erie and Lake Huron out there on the Canadian side, they are extremely angry. They have these three-blade wind generators in their backyards. They don't work. They make noise. It destroys their property value. They can't sleep at night. It drives them crazy because of all the noise. Yeah, that's one of the things about the wing generator is it doesn't make any noise. It's very quiet. And so the end result is that, the world has just been sidetracked so badly that now when a real solution comes along, but when people see the wing generator, they look at it, like I say, the people come to the site and they stand there and they're just looking. A lot of them just with their mouth open, they don't even move. They're just... And then they go, that's it. That's it. That is the solution. So the people realize it. It's really incredible. And so that's why, I'll just repeat it again. I just got a minute or two left in the show here. Please tell people you know to go out and support this. This is important. I've put literally everything I've got and more into getting to this point. Now I'm in the finals. I'm one of the five finalists, and I can do this. I can do this. And not only just to win the X Prize, but to bring this to market and bring this into not only water, but the energy aspect, where we will have energy for eventually replacing nuclear and coal power plants, because we can't keep burning that fuel like that anymore. Most of the projections that I have seen show that we're going to run out of coal sometime in this century, later in the century. But do we want to just burn it till it's all gone? We're burning the oxygen we breathe. We're burning up the oxygen that we breathe. And you just see these lines of coal trains going back and forth across the country. And it's what we need right now because that's what's available. But we can't keep doing this. We have to find another solution, and that solution is here. And now I'm asking for your help so that I can do my job and bring this to fruition. It's as simple as that. I've done my part, and I'm going to keep doing my part, but I need your help too, and I want you to be part of this. So when you go to the crowdfunding page, put in something. If you know of investors, get them to contact me, and also share. Talk to other people. Say, hey, this thing is here now. This is really happening. It's really going to happen. And just point people there. You don't have to give them a big sales pitch, because when people see it, they go, oh my goodness, this is it. This is the solution. And they're going to donate too, because there's a sense of urgency amongst all the people of the world right now that we cannot continue burning coal and nuclear fuel after Fukushima. No, we got to get off of this. We got to get away from it. And we've been sidetracked by this myth of alternative energy, which never worked, was never planned to work. It was a pig with lipstick all along, and a lot of people are finding out. But there is a solution. I've got it in my jaws here, and I'm not going to let go of it. It's going to work, and it's not going to be owned by some big corporation that buries it so they can keep selling expensive energy to you. So this is on its way. So please go to the crowdfunding page. Do three things. Make a donation. Number two, if you know people who are serious investors, send them my way. Number three, tell your friends. Click on social media. Use that social media for something good. And so anyway, I'm not going to talk about any other topic tonight. That's what's going on right now. And I want this thing to take off. I want it to skyrocket. I want it to go into orbit. And I want it to benefit all of the people of this planet, because we're on the verge of conquering these problems. Energy, water. If you have water, then you can have greenhouse and drip irrigation. So you can have food. And once you have food and an economic lifestyle, that'll bring the population down. We won't be growing up to 10 billion people. We'll be stabilizing at where we are right now, and the world can handle that. But if we have a lot more, we're not going to be able to. This is Jim McCanney. This is my Science Hour. Go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. Or you can also go to the new webpage, jmccwing.com. This is my Science Hour. We are at the crossroads. Good night.